We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
When you jump onto TikTok, you know that you're going to be delivered content that is interesting to you and that there's going to be communities within those content that you can connect with, learn from, and that embrace and encourage you to participate and be creative. You don't have to be an expert. It's really about just being yourself. You're encouraged to join and have fun with it.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. With more than 689 million users across the world, including me, TikTok has emerged as a social media app that brands and consumers cannot ignore. Our guest today is Matt Cleary, TikTok's vertical director for retail and restaurants. We're going to ask him to share more about how retailers are using TikTok, what works for brands, and how consumers are engaging with the platform. But first, I'm going to welcome my colleague, my friend, and my co-host, Chris Stewart. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Bill. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Are you getting out and about more these days?
A little bit. Yeah. My weekends are starting to fill up. I'm just trying to stay busy, keep moving forward.
Have you done the restaurant thing yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
Not. We have a food hall near our house and we got dinner from there last night. So I ordered ahead and then went in and picked up.
Yeah. Well, it's getting busier. Matt, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Excited that I'm considered one of the more fascinating characters in this space.
Well,
we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly. We're just fresh into this. Matt is participating today, actually, at National Retail Federation's Converge program. So we appreciate you taking some extra time to be with us to kind of explore, you know, what you're doing at TikTok. But first, let's learn a little bit about Matt. Matt, what's your background?
Yeah, well, I have been in the retail space to some degree for the last 10 years. I have a background at a lot of, I would say, the big legacy, Disney, Apple, but really got into, I would say, retail and tech converged when I was at Twitter, where I managed quite a few of our large retail partnerships, and then spent a little bit of time at Nextdoor in the startup world before joining TikTok a little over a year and a half ago. And then as of 2021, I have been overseeing the retail vertical overall here in the US.
What does that consist of?
Well, if for us, we look at it in like two main buckets. We have what we would consider retail big box, which is essentially a multi-brand approach. You sell everything and anything. So your department stores, your grocery stores, your Walmarts, your Targets. And then we have maybe what's more considered specialty or a single brand. So your fashion, luxury apparel, your Nikes, your American Eagles, your Hollisters, your Gaps, et cetera.
You got everything. I mean, you think about
it. It's a lot.
Yeah. How big of a team do you have?
I have three direct people that manage each of those. You know, we have one that manages restaurants, one that manages big box, and one that manages retail luxury fashion, so to speak. And then they each have somewhere between 10 to 12 team members working directly in either a one-to-one or maybe a one-to-two capacity with our key partners.
Are you finding that TikTok is a fairly new platform for brands to be on. Are you finding the brands are coming to you and they're driving what their plan of action is, or are you kind of working, you know, in tandem?
I think it's a mix of both, right? I think we're at a point now where everyone knows they have to have a point of view. They can't simply say, we're gonna wait on this, we're just gonna let see how it plays out. That everyone has to have a point of view. So our team is designed to try and obviously help inform, educate, strengthen that point of view, develop a strategy together. I would say in the past year, we've had brands that have been very early on and said, hey, we're actually seeing our community talk about us on your platform already. How do we get involved? And they've jumped in and tested and had fun. And then we've had a lot of brands who have said, hey, we help us understand, like, how should we participate? Where should we jump in? And we'll coach them and we'll develop a strategy for testing, identify what their goals and objectives are. But I think it's a mix. Obviously, our recommendation is get involved. More often than not, your brand is on the platform in some capacity already. So it's just a matter of how do you capture that? How do you lean in? How do you speak authentically while you're on it?
Yeah, the authentic part is so important. I was seeing, you know, part of the retail on TikTok that I was seeing was like the retail parody brands. And so it's very, you know, there are so many people who aren't affiliated with brands that are putting out content around the brands. And so I can see where it's a little scary to get in there and to be an official voice when you know that you're almost setting yourself up.
Well, you know, it's, I think anything new is scary to some degree, right? Yeah, I think there's an element of, you know, when I was at Twitter was scary. And that was just at the time, you know, 140 characters. So it was a challenge in itself to think that short. What I would say is it's all about finding the communities and then being able to speak to those communities. And yes, there's going to be, you know, fringes of communities and overlaps in which, you know, the comedy community might say, hey, this is really funny. We've actually seen, I think, examples where brands have said, hey, people are kind of having fun with us over here. How do we lean into that? And it is a little bit of like letting go and letting the community kind of like speak on your behalf to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Embracing the messiness.
Yep. Yeah.
Embracing the messiness. Controlled chaos. So TikTok. So I think for some of our, I think 99.9% of our listeners know TikTok. If I know it, everybody knows it. So however, for that 0.1%, tell us about TikTok. What a little bit about the history.
Yeah. So TikTok, we look at ourselves as we are the leader in short form entertainment. So we have, you know, well over 100 million users in the US and that same amount in the EU. And our focus is about inspiring creativity and bringing joy at the end of the day. We've been quoted as the last sunny corner of the internet. And that's exactly what we want to be. What we see on our platform is an authentic and an inclusive space where people come to participate and be creative. And obviously in the last year, the year that we've all kind of like just lived through, people are seeking areas to come together. In many ways, online and platforms like ourselves were the only places to do that. And so what started, I think, as a dominated by Gen Z has exploded into this truly like multi-generational platform as we've seen the breadth and depth of content just explode. It went from, you know, very music heavy, very, you know, I would say maybe ephemeral content that only lasted for a few seconds to really educational, really informative. We've got communities all around DIY. We've got communities around education, FinTok, where you can learn in, you know, 30 seconds or less how you should be, you know, evaluating savings and things of that nature. And we're seeing it's actually a family affair. It's one of the few platforms where I think our kids are telling their parents, hey, will you come do a TikTok with me? Because it is intended to be fun. It's not based on a social graph. It's based on an interest graph.
And it's short form videos, right? Like, is there a time limit or is it, how long can they be?
Yeah, we're constantly testing length, but I think we have seen, you know, consistently anywhere between, you know, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, depending on the type of content is mm-hmm. the sweet spot. Obviously we've seen people do it a lot shorter as well. But it's definitely supposed to be quick bites, so to speak.
It's kind of like a fun, I mean, if YouTube had been smart, they would have probably done something similar to this since they were in that space already. Yet I think that what you did was you found, like, I hate to say it, it's kind of like a Twitter for video. I mean, it's just short form expression.
And it's so funny too, because like, you know, I find constraints can really bring out creativity. And so the fact that you're trying to fit, true, how can I express my message in this, within this very tight time limit, can really spark some really interesting content.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the things that you touched on there are, one, the discoverability and the sense of community that exists in some other platforms. But what we've really highlighted is, you know, again, how do you, when you jump on the TikTok, you know that you're going to be delivered content that is interesting to you and that there's going to be communities within those content that you can connect with, learn from, and that embrace and encourage you to participate and be creative, as opposed to, you know, you don't have to be an expert or you don't have to be perfect to participate. It's really about just being yourself, and whether you're myself or my mother, you're encouraged to join and have fun with it.
So what, when you were talking about retailers that are taking advantage of TikTok, what brands are succeeding on TikTok right now?
There's tons. I would say, you know, from our perspective, the ones, at least within my purview, that we see, we talk about, you know, Aerie, they've had a ton of success, and they're a great example of a brand who actually saw something happening on the platform. They had these leggings go viral, sold out, and now have leaned into it and use it as a way to not only listen, but also put content and products intentionally into TikTok to see how they'll perform. Kate Spade, who, you know, we're talked with today during our panel today, they have something similar. They noticed this trend in which, you know, their, you know, novelty purses were taking off, and now they see it as a, you know, they take insight from the platform and use it to drive, you know, what product releases and things like that. Then, you know, the other side of my business is the restaurant world, and obviously, you know, we've seen these brands just have such a strong, you know, voice, and they really understand who they are. And you know, there's examples both McDonald's and leaning into these viral celebrity meals and encouraging people to, you know, just show up at McDonald's and say, give me the Travis Scott meal, and turning really their brand and the content over to the community to kind of create this behavior. But another example that we love to talk about is Zarbies. This guy actually bought a TV online, went to plugged it in and realized it was actually an Arby's menu TV, and posted it on TikTok. Arby's had a lot of fun with it and said, hey, we want our TV back. And it created this like really cool moment in which, like, you know, people were going into Arby's and asking for the TV back. And it was a really cool experience. But again, I think those are the brands that are aware of how people are having fun with them and then leaning into those moments. Those are the brands that have success.
Yeah. You know, the group that owns Arby's, they're ingenious. They just are doing so many things with their brands. They've got multiple brands, but particularly Arby's.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's how do you at TikTok? So there, in the world today, in the social media world, in the social space, there's just a lot of anger. There's a lot of people that are just, you know, they're using these platforms to, you know, state an opinion, to actually to argue a point or things like that. How do you avoid that on TikTok? Because I don't see it.
I mean, it's a great question, and it comes back to our core. You know, so much, we're not successful if like people don't know that when they fire up TikTok, when they jump on TikTok, they are going to be, you know, they're going to laugh, maybe they'll cry, but it's an emotional connection that it's never not a safe space, so to speak. And you know, we take a lot of pride in that, and we focus on the user. We actually launched you know, a campaign earlier this month around bullying and making sure that all of our users are aware of all the tools that they have to limit you know, the way in which people can engage. But ultimately, I think it comes back to just it being based on an interest graph. You know, is a huge difference. You know, we're not creating pockets of, you know, a lot of like mindedness just because of who you follow or what you follow. We're always serving you something fresh and something new based on what you're interested in. And I think it creates a different approach. The mindset is all about discoverability. And I know I'm going to come on here and I'm naturally open to learning new things. And obviously that creates a great mindset for brands as well. But I think it also just creates this openness, this inclusiveness, and this broader awareness of all these great people that are on the platform. And so it is just much more of a celebration culture, so to speak.
Are you finding brands use it like primarily for promoting product, or are you seeing them promoting a lifestyle that their product enables?
No, that's a great. Well, we see both. So going back to discoverability, ideally, you know, because you're primed to see something new, you're almost more receptive to, you know, hearing new products. And we see that, you know, a big trend is the TikTok made me buy it, right? Which has over 2.5 billion. Yeah, I've fallen into that trap many times.
The steam cleaner thing that just went sold out at like Walmart because of the TikTok.
That, you know, pickled garlic. It's like, you name it. The things that have
amazing
kind of influenced our purchasing behaviors. And that all comes from these trends where people are simply saying, hey, look what I found. Let me give you a quick review on it. And I think that's, you know, that's really natural. It also isn't, it doesn't feel forced because it is a broader community. It's not a single person who, you know, has millions and millions of followers and is just hawking a new product, but it's very natural. But what I think is really interesting about this, and this starts to talk to your other point, Chris, is it's the format, the canvas, which is sound on and it's video and immersive, actually allows you to contextualize that product and that brand in someone's life. So it's not just like, let me show you product. This is great. It does X.
Yeah.
You get to see someone try it on. You actually get to see how they feel when they use it. You know, you can see the joy. And when someone, you know, body positivity is a huge topic, and you see people that are trying on a variety of different outfits that they probably wouldn't have traditionally done, but they get joy. And then the comments and the community celebrates that. So there's an element that you can do both, where you can show a product, but also contextualize the impact that it has in someone's life. And that's a pretty, I think, a powerful tool in driving purchase and driving kind of immediate purchase in some ways.
Sure.
So Matt, you've been in this space, the social landscape for a while. What is that going to look like? I mean, you've seen it evolve and it's like every day you know, there's something new. How does it look in a year? How does it look in 5 years?
Man, if I knew that, I think we wouldn't be. No, I would say
I'm counting on you to know it.
I think it's really interesting. Obviously, we're at such a critical point now as it relates to data and measurement and you know, people's comfortability with how much data they allow you to have. And I think it's creating a really unique opportunity for brands to understand, you know, how do they resonate? You know, traditionally you would try to collect as much user data as possible and then use that to machine power and almost hit you over the head with enough ads that forced you into a buy. And I think what we're finding is, like, we've been really intentional, again, like, not so much focusing on all the different endpoints we can get from you as a social, so to speak, platform, and really understand, like, what are things that you're interested in and how do we let that inform the content? And I think really for us, it becomes a matter of, I really think it comes down to the role that content can play and the role that community can play in driving. I think it's, you know, the reality is, like, you've always wanted this idea of, you know, quick validation of, like, hey, if I'm going to make this purchase, do people that I know or that have similar interests or are facing similar issues as me, does it work for them? And I think this idea of community commerce and this idea of, you know, content leading as opposed to simply like data leading is going to be a big shift that we're all going to have to adopt. I think it's something that we're uniquely poised to lead in.
So you just used a phrase that I've never heard before, but I can see where it makes sense. Community commerce. How do you define that?
Well, for us, it's this idea that, you know, you create a flywheel in it and that advocates can come from anywhere. And that the reality of a purchase is there's a lot of different signals that can influence someone's decision. But I think that the really big, powerful, one of the most powerful one is, again, like, validate and contextualizing. And we see consistently, and this is, again, like the TikTok made me buy it trend, is that when you unlock a community to do that on your behalf, it allows you, you know, it puts the product, you basically, the product markets itself, because you see it not just in, hey, these are the product points that we want the TV ad to hit, but we get different point of views, different lifestyles, different approaches all across the community, advocating and showing another way that this works. And I think you look at any of these and the trends or the products that have been, like, featured in that, and it's you know, even just the food products, right? The feta pasta, you've got expert chefs doing it in one way, and then you've got the mom who's trying to make the feta pasta for the kids, and you've got the college kid who's like, wow, this is actually a really quick, easy way for me to do it. And, you know, you can let that community kind of develop and build your sales strategy, as opposed to saying, like, hey, we're gonna engineer it so that this data point and this product point resonates with this group. You can kind of put it out there and let the community help inform what's driving commerce.
You know, Chris, you and I did Dolls Kill, didn't we, together?
Yeah.
Was that RGR?
It wasn't
episode?
Me either.
But that was, I mean, to me, that was probably the first example. We didn't call it that, but that was an example of community commerce where they found a community. They created a community. Well, the community was there, but then they created a space for that community to come to and in shared commerce. And it was it's an extraordinary example. And I could see that. I can see where TikTok would do that.
It sounds like any platform that is going to facilitate user-generated content is really what's going to be successful, because people get excited and people want to share their stories, and any platform that's going to make it easy for them to do it is going to succeed. And any that's going to make it easy for them to find each other and to find that kind of content and be excited together and have that crowd enthusiasm.
Totally. So Matt, I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of questions about TikTok just from
my
friends.
My job.
Friends, family, you know, sure. Oh, I work for TikTok. And I'm like, what is the one question that you always seem to get asked about your role or being employed by or working with the folks at TikTok?
Oh, I mean, I think most common, you know, and we're in my, I would say, circle and family is, it's all about, you know, isn't that all just, you know, isn't that just the kids lip syncing or dancing app? Probably the big, and the reality is, you know, and as we talked about it, it's not, it doesn't take very long. In fact, I've had this conversation many a times with friends over the last year where I'm like, just log on, you know, give it a couple of days, get in the For You feed and see what comes up. And you start sharing. I share with my we have a family text chain and it's constantly, hey, did you see this TikTok? Or I have an old house that we're constantly upgrading it. And I'm actually using that. Now my For You feed is filled with DIY. And because my parents and my brother know that I'm doing DIY, theirs is kind of filled with DIY. So it's constantly it's kind of like a never ending, almost like query of helpful advice. But it is, I think it's just the, you know, shifting the notion of just like, there's content for everyone. It's just a matter of like, kind of like leaning in and letting the platform change it. But shifting that perception is definitely probably one of the main questions.
I think when I downloaded TikTok, it was after the Big Show. I think it was last year after the Big Show, because everybody that I talked to, and these are retailers, were talking about TikTok. And I'm like, and that was my perception. It was like, that's some kids thing. I mean, they do these videos with lights and they create studios. And that was my perception.
Lights.
Yeah. Well, they do. I mean, there was like they
fancy.
Yeah. I can't remember who I was talking to. Like one of our colleagues, her sister is all into it. I mean, just fully into it, and has set up a studio in her house that she does TikTok videos.
Well, I think that's great. It's anyone can be discovered. You know, again, and it doesn't require. Again, it doesn't require this huge following base, because again, you're not, you know, if you post a video, Bill, like you can amass millions and millions of views and, you know, become one of our top creators, and suddenly, you know, you're driving the industry. But that's the reality is, like, I think everyone's felt this, hey, the access or the opportunity, it's not gated. It's open for everyone.
I think it's pretty fantastic. So Matt, we're almost out of time, but if you've never listened to our program before, you would not know about our next segment. And if you have, you do, but it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Chris, take it away.
What was your first job?
I cleaned up theaters at a movie theater.
What is always in Matt's refrigerator?
Oh, right now it's cheese. We have a lot of cheese in this house.
Excellent. I love cheese.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
It would be to fly.
Beach or mountain?
Well, we have a 9-month-old baby now, so I'm going to have to say beach because I don't want to lug him around a mountain.
Wouldn't even think about that, but yeah. Very good rationale.
Yeah.
What is the last thing that you geeked out over?
This is going to be really bad. I replaced all the toilets in our house. And so I really got into light plumbing. We have zero leaks. So that's the level of geek I went into.
Did you get into the flexible tubing that you can use? For
Oh my gosh.
It's so amazing.
That ring at the base, though, is the grossest thing in the world.
I agree. I went deep on why is this still the way that we have.
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, you think it was like in colonial times, this is what they did. But not today.
But I know quite a bit about, you know, all the top toilets these days. So
the one thing that we learned this year was we have a farmhouse. We drain the water because we knew we were going to be gone for months. So then this was during the winter. So we drained the water and turned it off, drained the toilets. Don't drain your toilet because there is rubber that relies on staying wet.
Yeah.
And when it isn't wet, it dries and it cracks. And if it cracks, it creates leaks. Yeah. And if it leaks, it might go into your dining room, which is exactly what happened.
Oh, man.
When somebody turned the water on. So anyway, that's really an aside. Chris, you have one last one.
What's the last place you shopped?
Target.
Target. Very good. Last call you had. Matt, if people want to learn more about TikTok and the organization, where do they go?
Well, we have a website, so they can go to, TikTok.com, or it wouldn't take very long to probably connect them with their, requisite TikTok rep, or if they don't, our ads site can direct them to the right team. But otherwise, I would say we're in the app stores, download TikTok and experience it for yourself.
Excellent. Matt Cleary, thank you so much for being our guest on Retail Gets Real.
Thank you both.
I'm going to be looking for you on TikTok. Chris,
always
thank you. It's always wonderful to spend time with you. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. We'll close as we've closed the last 15 months, and hopefully this will end soon. But please be safe, stay well. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.